Fantasy Sports Network presents NBA Takeaways.
What's up and welcome into NBA Takeaways right here on NBA Sound System, of course, over at the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm your host, Chris Welsh. You can find me on Twitter, at IsItTheWelsh. Follow me, because guess what? I'm going to have some interesting takes for you. Like, how about this? Happy Valentine's Day. My wife hates Valentine's Day. I think I got lucky, right? But I'm the guy that tries to do it. I try to do all the holidays. Wife, not a big holiday person, so I know a lot of us are scrambling out there, but it is a great Valentine's Day edition with your loved ones, whether they like the holiday or not, and we are on the brink of NBA All-Star Weekend. It's coming. We had a fantastic set of games that went down on Wednesday, which we're going to be covering. Lots of news. We got a couple more here on Thursday, and then we're going to be off for a little bit. I think Bogman kind of set the stage as we get into NBA All-Star Weekend, but we'll be back with you next week. A lot going on as far as the full slate of games, what we're setting up for, and a couple big things. We've got to talk about the return of Isaiah Thomas after, what was it, 14 months? I mean, he's been out forever. We haven't seen Isaiah Thomas forever, and he made his season debut on Wednesday. We're going to talk about that. James Harden continued his streak of 30 points to 31. That tied Wilt for second all time. A ridiculous feat. But first up, how about this takeaway? We got a brand new home for NBA takeaway favorite Enes Kanter. Yes, Bogman, we were talking before I did the show, and he goes, I'm actually legit upset and jealous that you get to do the show where Enes Kanter signed, because we love talking about him because the guy is such a personality. And he officially signed with the Portland Trailblazers. He said that on Wednesday. He made the news official on Twitter, and he said, quote, to helping the Blazers achieve the ultimate goal of competing for a championship. Here's a full-on tweet. And he got himself photoshopped already in. I don't know if he's going to wear this, but he had 00 on there. But here's his tweet. He said, I'm pleased to announce that I have signed with the Portland Trailblazers for the remainder of the season. I look forward to helping the Blazers achieve the ultimate goal of competing for a championship. Excited to meet my new teammates, coaches, staff, and most importantly, the fans. It is a blessing to continue to compete at the highest level. Let's go Rip City. And he did a hashtag Rip City. That was a image where he photoshopped himself or some, you know, whatever, him and his team photoshopped him in Portland Trailblazers. And then his the stuff on the tweet just said Rip City. The New York Knicks had waived Kanter on the trade deadline on Thursday of last week. And the Terry Stotts was asked, he said, we're getting a guy who can really score and rebound and help us be a better team, which I really think they need. Stotts continued on kind of talking about how Kanter is going to be the primary backup to Yusuf Nurkic. He said he's a bona fide player in the league. You look at his body of work. He's a great rebounder, a great offensive rebounder. He can score and get rebounds in a short amount of time. Did we mention rebounds? He said, and I think the role that we have for him will be really good for him, but it'll really be good for us as far as providing different dimensions off of our bench. So I think it is a really good spot. I mean, they're always looking for, you know, second unit players. And Nurkic has been a very productive player this season. So getting, you know, getting Kanter in there to be the guy off the bench and working him with, I don't know, man, you know, guys like Damian Lillard, just a high personality player. Rip City has got some serious personalities in there with McCollum and Lillard and Kanter. It's obviously not the big swing that they wanted as they were poking around during the NBA trade deadline, but this is a very, very positive move. And, you know, I know there was talk of Kanter maybe taking a look at a place like the Lakers, but I think this is a fantastic spot for him, and it's a really, really good move for the Trailblazers. And that was kind of our big setup as we go into All-Star Weekend. And we've got kind of got definitive homes for a lot of these players. I mean, of course, we've got Carmelo looming out there. We'll see where that goes. But Enes Kanter, he's got a team. He's bona fide, according to Terry Stotts, and he's a Portland Trailblazer. Now, there was a bevy of games that went down on Wednesday night. A lot of good stuff ended, of course, as always, as it does with the Golden State Warriors. So we're going to talk about that. But let's just get right into it, and then I'll give you the what we do have on the docket for Thursday. And then, of course, we get into the NBA All-Star Weekend. So no further do we need to wait on the takeaway than getting to the Nets and the Cavs. Huge scoring game as the Nets beat the Cavs in overtime, 148 to 139. 69 points in a very nice overtime was scored between the two teams. And it was actually a three overtime. Did I say one overtime? Three overtimes. 69 total points scored between these teams. So let's take a look at went down. The Nets, they took it 148 to 139 on the Nets. In 48 minutes, Joe Harris played. He was 9 for 12 from the field, 4 for 5 threes, scoring 25 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. Not as many inflated numbers as you'd expect in this game. D'Angelo Russell, guy doesn't even need 40 minutes to inflate those stats, but he did pull up 36 points. He was 13 for 30, played 43 minutes. There were four players on this team that played 40-plus minutes, three starters, and Damari Carroll off the bench played 46, second most. But D'Angelo Russell scored 36 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists. He had 7 turnovers, but, decent amount of time. Shot 15 threes, only made 5 of them. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson scored 17 with 5 rebounds. Jared Allen had a double-double, 10 points, 12 rebounds with 6 blocks, but he was only 4 for 11 from the field. And Caris LeVert in a very good night, 12 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists with a block, but 5 for 14 from the field. Off the bench, Krabby had 14 with 7 rebounds. You also had Napier with 10 and Damari Carroll, who played 46 minutes, had 18 points and 7 rebounds. Now, the team was 40% from the three-point line, shooting 18 for 45 and 52 for 113 field goal, which was 46%. Now, on Cleveland's side, they were led off the bench by Jordan Clarkson, who played 48 minutes. He played more than, bench is arbitrary here because he played more minutes than anybody. He scored 42 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal and a block, 48 minutes, going 16 for 34. He hit 7 threes, but shot 17 of them. Perfect 3 for 3 from free throw. Also off the bench, newly acquired Marquese Chris had 23 points with 7 rebounds in 28 minutes. Now the starters, Colin Sexton, he played 45 of those minutes, going 10 for 22, 2 for 5 3. He had 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 24 points. But amazingly, of the starters that were going down, he was the most effective. Besides Chris and Jordan Clarkson, you had Osman, who scored 13, but Zizek, Knight, Nwaba, they all had single-digit points, and none of them really played massive minutes like you would expect in an overtime game. This was done, it was Clarkson, Dellavedova, you had Sexton, and then looking here, rest of the minutes, I guess they were kind of spread out. Larry Nance played 33 minutes off the bench. He had 18 points and 14 rebounds, and it looks like we had no Kevin Love in the game. So Magic were not able to keep up in a triple overtime game. Love it. Triple overtime. And the net, it's kind of what you need sometimes from teams like these where there's low expectations for a Nets-Cavaliers game. So getting a triple overtime makes it pretty fun. And the Brooklyn Nets now have a plus 500 record. Cleveland is 12-46. Going over to the Bucks and the Pacers, the Bucks won 106-97. They were led by Giannis Antetokounmpo, who scored 33 points. By the way, interesting stat I saw, 206 dunks this season, which is the most in the NBA by GA. 206 of them he's got. He had a triple-double, 33 points, 19 rebounds with 11 assists, 2 steals, and a block. He was 12 for 22 from the field, 9 for 10 free throw. 12 defensive rebounds, 19 total, which is so impressive because I've gone through these triple doubles where, the guy will have 14 rebounds and 12 of them were defensive. He also had 7 offensive rebounds with the steals and the blocks, only 2 turnovers. He was a plus 19 in this game, plus minus. He is something else, man. Played 38 minutes in the game. Chris Middleton, he scored 15 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 for 16 from the field. Brooke Lopez was in single digits, only 3 for 11 from the field. Boo. Eric Bledsoe, 1 for 4, only played 21 minutes, scoring 4 points. Woo. Brogdon, though, 17 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, played 30 minutes. He was 6 for 11 from the field. Off the bench, you had George Hill playing 19 minutes, scoring 12 points, 4 rebounds, and Ersan Ilyasova, 11 points, 5 rebounds. So the Bucks were able to take that win, essentially just led by GA. That was where it all got down. On the Pacers side, Thad Young, 7.7 rebounds, 4 turnovers, only 3 for 9 from the field. Bogdanovich, he was your leader, 20 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 7 for 14 from the field. And then just the entire starting lineup just struggled. Miles Turner, only 4 for 13 from the field. 11.6 rebounds. Darren Collison was 5 for 11 from the field. Wes Matthews, newly acquired, 2 for 7 from the field. Just abysmal. Off the bench, Domantas Sabonis was solid. 14 points, 9 rebounds with 3 assists and 2 steals. He played 26 minutes. He was 7 for 12. That was your big guy there. You know, Tyreke Evans was only 3 for 10 from the field off the bench. Pacers just have not been able to get it going. They still hold a 38-20 record. Bucks 43-14, just an absolutely beast of a team going in to the All-Star break. Pistons and Celtics, this was a good game. Celtics took the win 118-110. Let's actually go start with the Detroit Pistons, as Blake Griffin was 10 for 19 from the field, played 37 minutes, was 4 for 8 threes, scored 32 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 8 for 12 free throw, which is it's always interesting from him. We'd like it a little bit better, but I mean, it could be worse. Andre Drummond, 8 for 14 from the field, 21 points, 17 rebounds with 4 steals. Reggie Jackson put up 18. He had Kennard have 11 with 5 assists. He was 4 for 10 from the, played 36 minutes too. And off the bench, Wayne Ellington played 33 minutes, 13 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 2 steals, 5 for 12 from the field. Wasn't quite enough. And I mean, you can go and look, the 3-point percentage, 32%, 32.5% to be exact, 13 for 40 from the field. The starters, when I'm looking at this, you had how many shot attempts? You had 6, 12, 20, 23 shot attempts from the starters, and they knocked down 10. So they were 10 for 23, the starters were, and then off the bench, they were 0 for 7. I guess I could have done that. Or actually, no, they were 3 for 17 off the bench. Wayne Ellington shooting 10 threes and made 3 of them. On the Celtics side, very, very dispersed all around. This was a team win. Morris, 11.6 rebounds. Gordon Hayward in the start, played 34 minutes, 18 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists. Just a throwback to old school Gordon Hayward. Jason Tatum played 34 minutes, 19 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. Al Horford just missed a triple-double, 17 points, 14 rebounds with 8 assists. He was 6 for 12 from the field. And Marcus Smart, 16 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists. Off the bench, Jaylen Brown played 30 minutes, and he scored 17 with 7 rebounds. I mean, he was your big rotation guy. As the starters, everybody but Morris played 30 minutes. He played 29. And then Jaylen Brown, you know, he topped that 30 marker. They have a 41% 3, 51% field goal, 80% free throw. That is how starting and winning teams take down the wins. All right, jumping over to the 76ers and the Knicks. The 76ers won 126-111. Interesting moment in the game that took a lot of social media was where Joel Embiid was heading to the side of the court, had to jump over the first row. He happened to jump over actress Regina King. I mean, the screenshot is incredible, too. I mean, he just flies over them. And as it's stated, it says it was the type of play he was going to try to make for award-winning actress Regina King. It was a moment she won't soon forget. Regina King tweeted, "Yo, thank you, God and Joel Embiid, for your athletic abilities. Crisis averted." And Joel Embiid commented after the game. He says, "It's good that I saved her life, I guess, but someone else had to, like, take that." He was referring to the statistician. "I'm sorry about that." So he saved Regina King, went into the statistician, and it became a nice little Twitter moment. And I like how Joel Embiid is like, I saved her. No big deal. In the game, though, Joel Embiid was also dominant. 26 points, 14 rebounds, 3 assists, 7 for 13 from the field, 12 for 14 free throws, shot 14 free throws, as did Ben Simmons, who hit 8 of 14, 18 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists. Tobias Harris just fitting right in, 25 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Jimmy Butler had 13, 7, and 8. JJ Redick had 15. He was 2 for 6. Only 5 made 3-pointers in 13 attempts in the starting lineup. Tons of free throws. They shot 43 free throws in this game. They were 79% as a team, only 34 threes, 53.8% field goal. Off the bench, you had Boban, 10 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists in limited time, 14 minutes, and pretty much the rest of the bench didn't go. 34 minutes. It's actually weird when you look at this. The starting lineup, nobody played less than 34 minutes. In fact, 4 of the 5 starters and on the 76ers played 34 minutes. Tobias Harris played 35. Everybody else played 34. bench was in a relatively limited role. The New York Knicks, they were led by Dennis Smith Jr., but he only had 13 points as far as the starters go, 5 assists. DeAndre Jordan, he was 12-5-7. He had 7 assists on the night. Hezonja only played 6 minutes. Kevin Knox had 9 points. But off the bench, this is where the damage was done. Mitchell Robinson, 14 points, 13 rebounds with 4 blocks. Allen had 13, 3-4 with 3 steals. Trier had 19 points, and Dotson had 16 points. I mean, just the second unit doing absolutely all the work. Obviously, not enough. 76ers go to 37-21. Knicks now 10-47. Only 4-23 at home. Oof. Can you imagine? Just the ticket. I always think about like the ticket prices of people going to the Knicks. They're not even going to see the Knicks at that point. They're just clearly there to see teams that they would really like to see because the Knicks aren't doing much on the court. Let's go over to the Raptors and the Wizards. And the Raptors won 129-120. This game recap was led by Bradley Beal's 28 points in 44 minutes, 14-15 free throw with 11 assists, leading the way to be not enough for the Wizards, of course. Green, he was in the starting lineup, 23 points, 7 rebounds. Trevor Ariza had 19-8-6. Thomas Bryant, 13 points, 5 rebounds. Off the bench, Jabari Parker, very solid game, played 34 minutes, scoring 22 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. He was 8-15 from the field. Bobby Portis, 12 points, 6 rebounds in this kind of new look Wizards. Still not getting the win, still not enough. They've fallen to 24-34, 7-23 on the road right now in a completely dominant Toronto Raptors team that's now 24-5 at home, of course. They were led by Pascal Siakam, 44 points. I love Mason Pascal Siakam. 15-25 from the field, 4-5 threes, 10-12 free throw, had 10 rebounds, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. Have a night. Double-double, 44 points, 10 rebounds. Let's throw on a couple blocks on there. He was everything. Serge Ibaka, he had a double-double, 10 points, 13 rebounds with 6 assists. How about another double-double? Kyle Lowry, 14 points, 13 rebounds with 3 steals. Danny Green had 10 himself, and nobody else needed to do anything. Pascal Siakam, an absolute beast in this game. Such a, you know, it is interesting. What were we seeing where it was? I think it was centered around like an Anthony Davis or maybe in Marc Gasol, but I think it was centered around Anthony Davis where people are saying, you know, would you just go and trade a guy like Pascal Siakam to get Anthony Davis with no definitives that he would resign? And it's like, no, man. Siakam is a star in this league that nobody pays attention to. He's just a very unheralded player. I'd say one of the more fun players in the league to watch. I love the guy, and I love seeing dominant performances like that, not just from the Raptors, but himself, Pascal Siakam. Bulls and the Grizzlies. Bulls won 122-110. Let's go over and look at the Bulls, a winning team here. They were led by Otto Porter Jr., 37 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 16-20 from the field, and 34 points. Let's go. Lauri Markkanen, 21 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists in 35 minutes. Robin Lopez, no buyout, 25 points, 5 rebounds. And Zach LaVine had 15, 6, and 7. Very solid performance across the board. Bench was little to nothing, but, you know, Otto Porter, Lauri Markkanen. This is the future. This is something I talked about when this trade went down. When I think about the future of what this team can look like, where you've got LaVine and you've got Dunn, you've got Porter Jr., Markkanen, and then you throw Wendell Carter Jr. into this mix, the Bulls are going to, they might be scary. I'm not sure if they're going to be like, you know, 3 seed scary, but like as a young team, that's a scary combination that you just need to get a couple veterans around off the bench. You need to be able, you know, like a Lou Williams, you know, if you can get like a Marc Gasol that comes off the bench, like a couple of those guys, this team all of a sudden is giving people a run for their money because it's a very, very solid young unit. On the Grizzly side, with whoever they're putting out at this point, Mike Conley, 12 points, 5 assists with a couple rebounds. Avery Bradley, he's been starting, 15 points, 5 assists. Jaren Jackson Jr. played 28 minutes, 12 points, 2 rebounds. Very low output night for him. Rob didn't do anything. Holiday didn't do anything. Off the bench, you had CJ Miles, 12 points. You had Jonas Valanciunas, 12 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. Pretty solid night, 16-14. And DeLon Wright, 12 points. They were 35% 3, 48% field goal, 76 free throw. compared to what the Bulls were putting down, where the Bulls shot 40% three, 56% field goal, and 82% free throw. So, you know, the difference between winning and losing teams, right? All right, let's go over to the Heat and the Mavericks, where the Heat won 112 to 101. They were led by Dion Waiters, the Heat were, where he had 20 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. He was 7 for 13 from the field, shot 8 threes, made 3 of them. Justice Winslow had a double-double, 11 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. He's been a very solid, like, odd point guard fill-in, kind of a, as I call it, stuffing things type of player. Kelly Olynyk had 10 points, and Josh Richardson had 14 points with 6 assists himself. Off the bench, Dwayne Wade, throwback night, 22 points. He was 9 for 14 from the field. Ben Adebayo, 10 points, and James Johnson had 12 points, 4 rebounds. That was their win against the Dallas Mavericks. Both teams just, you know, struggling. On the Mavericks side, Tim Hardaway Jr. scored 20 points. Luka Doncic just missed a triple-double, 18 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists, but only 5 for 17 from the field. Hit 3 threes, shot 9 of them, though. Not a great plus-minus, negative 12. It was the worst on the team. He did play 33 minutes, but negative 12 plus-minus for Luka Doncic. The rest of the team, if you're looking across here, Finley had 5, Kieber had 11, and off the bench, Dirk Nowitzki had 12 points, 2 rebounds, 28% three-point shooting for Dallas, 38% field goal. This is against a 54% and 40% field goal and three-point percentages, respectively, for the Miami Heat. Very, very different directions, these two. I mean, they're both rebuilding-ish teams, but the Mavericks, you know, really let go here. Now, this was an interesting one. The Nuggets beat the Kings 120 to 118 in what was probably a really surprisingly great game. But this was the return of Isaiah Thomas after such of a long period out. He was able to play 13 minutes in this game. He scored 8 points, 2 assists, 2 for 5 3, 3 for 6 field goal. 13 minutes is a very, very big win for Isaiah Thomas and for the team. They were able to have very, very effective starters across the board. Paul Millsap, 25 points, 13 rebounds with 2 assists and 2 steals, led, of course, by Nikola Jokic. Triple double, 20 points, 18 rebounds, 11 assists. And Beasley went in with 21 points, 4 assists. I mean, Murray had 10, Barton had 13 himself, and off the bench, Monte Morris, 10 points, 3 rebounds. Very complete team, the Denver Nuggets are. Low key, just low key dangerous, this team is. Like, I am so fed. The basketball players are going to be so good this year. Seeing like how are teams going to attack the Denver Nuggets right now? Like, what are those matchups going to look like when they're attacking a team like the Denver Nuggets, who have had, you know, these unknown underperforming players play at peak levels and then have your really good players also play at peak levels? It's going to be a disaster for teams. 25-4 at home, the Denver Nuggets are. Now, the Kings, they have been no slouches. They were led by their 25 points from Buddy Hield, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 9 for 23 from the field. De'Aaron Fox had 15 with 10 assists and 4 rebounds. Harrison Barnes, 19 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists. Bjelić, 13 points with 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Off the bench, Bogdanović had 16, and Marvin Bagley had 11 points and 3 rebounds. Denver Nuggets win, though. A couple more games here. We had the Trailblazers and the Golden State Warriors. Warriors lost that game 129 to 107, a revived Portland Trailblazers team with their newly signed and newly acquired Enes Kanter, though he wasn't in the game in any capacity. They were led by Damian Lillard, 29 points with 8 assists. He was 9 for 15 from the field. You had just a bunch of chip in stuff. Aminu had 12 with 7 rebounds. Harkless, 10 for 5. CJ McCollum, kind of a low night, 15 points, only 5 for 13 from the field. Lehman off the bench had 17. Evan Turner had 12. It was a collective effort across the board for this team, and they are going to be welcoming open arms Enes Kanter and a really good push for this team. As you know, Enes Kanter is about to join it, and they just took down the Golden State Warriors at home. I mean, 129 to 107. They held the Warriors to 12 points in the fourth quarter, and it got real chippy at the end too. The whole foul situation where Steve Kerr just got enraged, and he got kicked out of the game, and they had to kind of, you know, bring him back there. And, you know, you don't, I mean, Kerr's a fiery guy, but you don't usually see him get that type of fiery. So obviously something to monitor. On the Warriors side, you had a couple 32 performances from the likely expected names. Kevin Durant had 32 with four rebounds. Steph Curry, 32 points, four rebounds, eight assists. He was only, Klay Thompson there. 32 points, seven rebounds, two assists. He was 10 for 24 from the field, five for 14 three. And Klay Thompson, two for 16, only 9 points, had eight assists with four rebounds. Coming off of that, you know, that bad finger dislocation looking thing, he had that all wrapped up during the game. Draymond Green, he played 32 minutes, only took up seven shots, though, 9 points, five rebounds, seven assists. You had no DeMarcus Cousins in the game. Kevin Looney, he got the start, played 24 minutes, had eight rebounds in the game. The bench, pretty slow. I mean, it was a pretty lackadaisical game overall for the Warriors as I was watching. I was watching a majority of this game, and Portland was riled up. This was a game that the Warriors were, they just weren't in. And, you know, it was, it started off positive, but the second, you know, I mean, the second half was, it was in a little bit favor of Golden State, but the fourth quarter was just Golden State absolutely taking over. Just an absolute takeover. You know, they almost tripled the scoring output that the Golden State Warriors had, and they completely took that game 129 to 107. Now, the final game was Phoenix Suns and the Los Angeles Clippers. Clippers win 134 to 107 over the Phoenix Suns. Let's start with the Clippers here. They had 30 points off the bench by Lou Williams. He was 12 for 16 from the field, 10 assists as well. Nice little double-double. They also had Montrezl Harrell score 19 points off the bench. Gallinari scored 26 and 3. He was 6 for 8 from the field in the starting lineup. No starter played over 24 minutes. No starter. You had 16 from Zubac. You had Alexander with 10. Beverly only had 2 points. And it was, you know, a lot of the work was kind of done off the bench from the Clippers here. On the Phoenix Suns side, they were led off the bench as well by Kelly Oubre. He had 28 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. He was 10 for 16 from the field. DeAndre Ayton, he scored 20 with 8 rebounds. Devin Booker played 33 minutes, very ineffective. 2 for 10 from the field, 10 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Jackson only 8 points, Bridges only 6 points. Newly acquired Tyler Johnson, 3 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Phoenix Suns cannot get it done as they drop it to the Clippers, and they now drop to 11-46. I believe that puts them second in the NBA behind the New York Knicks as far as record goes, or as we affectionately know it as the Zion sweepstakes. Now, let's take a quick look at the Thursday games, the Valentine's Day games, as we get those games, and then we're going to walk ourselves into the All-Star break. You're going to be treated over about, 7 Eastern. You're going to get the Hornets at the Magic. Kemba Walker been doing his business, averaging 25 points a game, almost 6 assists. Nikola Vucevic with his double-double, almost 21 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, essentially a game. Orlando favored in that one. The Knicks are going to be taking on the Hawks in a game that has a combined 29 wins. 29 combined wins, by the way. The Thunder, who play later, have 37. Both those Hawks and Knicks have combined 29 wins. DeAndre Jordan averaging a double-double on the season. John Collins been solid. Atlanta is favored by 7 at home. That's going to come a half an hour later. And then 8 Eastern, you got the Thunder and the Pelicans. Oklahoma is favored by 4. Paul George closing in at least on 29 points with the 8 rebounds, 4 assists. Anthony Davis, we know he will be playing if he can possibly go out there. But we'll also see what Russell Westbrook is going to be able to do triple-double-wise as he continues just the ridiculousness that is Russell Westbrook. And guys, that takes us into the All-Star Weekend. You're going to have lots of activities. You're going to have the Skills Challenge, which I really love. Dunk contest, three-point contest. You get the rookie sophomore game. And then, of course, kind of the little bit revamped All-Star game where these guys were able to draft their teams regardless of like East, West. And then we'll be back at it a little bit later in the week. I believe we'll be back at around Thursday as games are going to kick off and we really get into it. It's essentially playoff hunt time. That's what we're going to be going into. So make sure you're locked here to NBA Takeaways on NBA Sound System. Follow them at NBA Sound System. You can follow me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh. Bogman as well at Bogman Sports. We will make sure that we got you guys all hooked up. And make sure you're listening on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network with lots of great content, including this show. Have a great NBA All-Star Weekend. Enjoy it, whether you're out there or you're watching it on TV. We will talk with you next week right here on NBA Takeaways.
more NBA content, be sure to check out the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube stream.